The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
As you will have heard today, including in the news headlines with Owen at 4 o'clock, the INTO, the Irish National Teachers Organisation, and others have said they have grave safety concerns that have not been adequately addressed. This is with regard to schools reopening to, in some degree on Thursday, mainstream, in special units in mainstream schools, should I say, and schools dedicated for children with special needs. Fours of the trade union, they have similar concerns. To talk about this, I am joined by Lorraine Dempsey, who is a parent to a child with special needs and a longtime advocate in this area. Lorraine, you spoke to me last week and I suppose you were a little less enthusiastic than some. You essentially said, look, I'll believe it when I see it in terms of the schools reopening. You were right, it looks like.
Well, here we are. And you know, I everybody likes to be right, but I don't like to be right in this instance. Look, I'm well able to excoriate unions, you know, when they deserve it. But in this case, they absolutely don't. And I think, look, we've seen a lot of slinging insults across social media over the last couple of days, and it's serving nobody, least so our children with disabilities and special educational needs. And I think everybody needs to come to grips with the fact that, look, I do believe that schools will be able to open. I don't believe that they'll be able to open this Thursday. I think the planning wasn't put into this. And I think the department, really, the whole focus has to be on a lack of planning and a lack of contingency plans they've had since last March, where all stakeholders were identifying the things that needed to be done for different situations. And they simply haven't done it. And here we are another week. I think the political pronouncements of schools opening need to stop unless there's actual substance behind it that can actually happen on the ground. And this emotional roller coaster that, you know, I said last week that I hadn't told my own daughter that she'd be going back to school because I couldn't face kind of trying to explain to her why the bus wasn't arriving. You know, so she still doesn't know and we're trying to manage as best we can. But I do think whatever happens, it still remains the fact that there are a substantial number of families where they're not coping. They're in crisis. They're abandoned by not just, you know, their child having educational provision, but they also have lack of access to in-home respite, lack of access to centre-based respite and the therapies that are needed to help regulate their child in the home setting. So it's really complex.
Yeah.
You know, I think the acrimony is something that, look, it's serving nobody. And what I have seen over the last 24 hours is a huge amount of creative ideas on how this could actually work on a local level. And I think the department needs to not just listen to its representative stakeholders, but listen to the large school community as to what they can find a solution for locally to make this work. I don't think it's satisfactory to say that we cannot provide any in-school provision for the small minority that would need it.
Yeah.
And look, I said last week, look, you know, when we talk about special educational needs, Ciarán, it's one in four pupils has a special educational need. Our focus needs to be on those that simply cannot cope in the home setting. They can't engage with remote learning and where there's a deteriorating crisis.
So, Lorraine, are you saying the government maybe are trying to cast their net a little too wide in trying to get everybody back who falls into this category? They should focus on those with the most acute need.
Absolutely, way, way too wide, Ciarán. So I don't think we're talking about like 20,000 pupils. I think allow schools to establish what children the parents want to get back into school, and that should be really based around the needs of the child as well, and prioritise those. I don't believe that, you know, the majority of children with special education needs need nor want to be back in school. And I think the fewer staff and the fewer pupils that are back in school, the safer it'll be for everybody. And I do think, look, parents are absolutely desperate, but not all parents. Look, it is a minority of parents who are unable to cope with their child and the current kind of abandonment that they have from not just, you know, the Department of Education, but also the HSE and all the other services that they battle for. So we need to acknowledge that there are families in crisis, there are families of socially disadvantaged students that are in crisis. So we need to target the most vulnerable out of that cohort within school support. I do believe it can be done, and I do believe that there's a will to want to do it. But what I do believe is that the stakeholders generally are got around the table to tell them after the fact. Whereas, like, we could really harness kind of that innovative local solution problem solving in schools. Schools need to know what staff they've got available. They need to know what space is safe. And I do think that there are solutions there. But I think that, you know, no pronouncement should be made about Thursday or any other date until everybody knows what those solutions are. And I think we're wasting kind of time with all the acrimony.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, you know, for parents right now who are struggling, look, you know, I know what it's like, and I can understand that they're absolutely desperate. But I also understand that they also want their children to be back in school in as safe a setting as possible. And the department need to step up and provide what's being asked for in a reasonable and timely fashion so that we can go ahead and provide that in school.
Okay.
For those that are most disadvantaged.
Well, when you were on with us, Lorraine, last week, Linda was also on the line, who's a mother to a child with special needs. She called into the show, and Linda is back on the line again today. Linda, just remind us very briefly of your own situation.
Hey, Ciarán. Thanks for having me on the show. Well, I was just talking about the forced lockdown, and my son is 12. He's non-verbal. He's in a special school. You know, he's out of his routine completely. He needs routine, he needs structure, like all the other thousands of children out there. And like what I'm kind of echoing what Lorraine was saying, like you're talking about one in four children. I just think at this stage, like you're talking about over 2 weeks, you know, I think it's a bit now, I think it's cruel and it's callous the way other parents are being treated. Now, I'm going to get legal advice on this, Ciarán, because back in 2017, my son hadn't got a school, he was 8. He was in an autistic unit and there was no school for him. I was through hell. My family were through hell for 7.5 months. I did everything in my power to get him a school. Now, we got a school, but I do remember this and it sticks in my head. Department of Education's policy is to ensure that every child in this country has a right to an education, including children with special needs. And unfortunately, remote learning does not apply to my son and thousands of kids out there. Remote learning during this pandemic, it won't be any harm for children that can do remote learning. Now, our kids are left aside, and I'm blaming society on this. You were talking about last week, the mothers at children's homes. I mean, the way they were treated was unspeakable. I mean, we're going back to that because their children are being neglected, Ciarán.
Yeah.
And I am so annoyed and I'm fuming.
And Linda, you spoke to us. I know, and I can hear it, and I can appreciate it, and I think our listeners can as well. You told us last week that look, you're counted as an essential worker. You have to work. Like, how have you managed the last few days?
Well, I just want to clarify something, Ciarán. A lot of teachers and SNAs and other people, okay, are saying teachers are not child minders. Nobody minds my child when I'm a walk. His father minds him. His father had to leave work back in July because we used to have to drive around every night out in Holt for 3.5 to 4 hours. Every night. I'm sorry, Ciarán. I'm really annoyed because they're teachers. And I understand where they're coming from because what they're saying is one size fits all, okay? So what they're saying is if it's not safe for the other teachers to go back to school, it's not safe for them. And can I just say, there was a comment about one teacher put up about a school bag. What about the children that bring their school bags on the bus and the teachers have to take them off? Well, just let me say, them teachers accepted Christmas presents off them kids that were coming from the houses. They weren't worried then. And they're talking about the masks. The kids keep on pulling the masks off.
Yeah.
But come in, I tell you, I'm in work, I have to wear a mask. Surely, and then they're saying they're not provided with proper PPE gear. Ciarán, I'm at work in Carbys and Coolock. We're all working since last March. We're essential workers. We have to work. Now, if we cannot work, to say, due to, we've no one to mind kids or something, we're told, okay, do you understand their circumstances? But you will have to collect the call for payment. I know teachers out there, they have children. I understand that. But what the message I'm getting there across is one size fits all now as regards them teachers are concerned. They will not go back until all the schools are back. So I just want to know, is it safety measures or is it child-minded for them teachers? I mean, whether my child is in school or not, Ciarán, I still have to go to work. I haven't missed work through all this in the last month. You know, I can understand both sides. But let me tell you, Ciarán, as I said to you last week, it's like a living hell. And I'm only one family talking. And there's thousands of families out there. And put that in perspective, I'm actually lucky because I can go to work. Our life is hell. I mean, we drive around the weekends 3 and 4 hours out to Holt. At stages, we don't even know where we're driving to. Everything in my house is broke. Honest to God, and this is down to the fourth lockdown. Now, I have to say, I'm very annoyed, and I'm going to think trying to get legal advice, because if the teachers can say they're not safe going to work, am I not safe going to work? But regards, I'm going to fight for my son's education, because he has a right, and these are vulnerable children we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they are just neglected. I said to you last week, Ciarán, they're left aside. So who's to blame? Who is to blame?
Yeah. Listen,
I'm sorry for being so angry, Ciarán, but I really am livid at this stage.
I know, and like I said, I think people appreciate that, and they can appreciate why you're so angry. And look, I hope it didn't make you too upset talking about it there.
We
really appreciate
that,
Ciarán. No, God, don't apologise, Linda. Don't apologise. Listen, we really appreciate
you. Sorry for interrupting you. I just like to say, you said hope. I am a firm believer in hope, because I do think hope is a good thing. But at this stage, I just knew the schools wouldn't open. There's too much time wasted with these meetings. And I can just also say, Ciarán, the teachers had a webinar yesterday, okay? They were the only ones. Let's talk about the frontline workers. They're most at risk of all this virus. They're going in treating people every day that they don't even know. These teachers and SNAs know these children.
Yeah.
I just have heard too many negative comments, and I'm not happy with it. I'm really not happy with it. But I'm telling you now, Ciarán, I'm not going to rest. I will not rest till my son is back in school.
Linda,
you know, I'm just not going to rest.
Look, he's well served by you, Linda. I'll put it that way. And we really appreciate your time here and for joining us on the show. Before Linda, we were speaking to Lorraine Dempsey as well, another parent of a child with special needs and an advocate, a long-time advocate in this area. Huge, huge text reaction to what Linda and Lorraine had to say. I promise I'll get to it in just a few minutes' time.